I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We welcome you to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the salvation of the lost and the revival of God's people. I'm Alan Mashburn, your Bible teacher and the pastor of Asbury Baptist Church, located at 218 Asbury Church Road in Seagrove, North Carolina. We invite you to visit our church at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. On Sunday evenings, we provide online services which can be viewed on gospeldynamite.org. Now please join me in the study of the Word of God. You're listening to Gospel Dynamite. Thank you for joining us this morning. I invite you to take your Bible and turn with us to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 10, as we look at the believer's secular duty. The believer's secular duty. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are, or that be, are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. There are three institutions that have been ordained of God in this world. In each of them, there are levels of submission and authority. Now, those three institutions are, first, the family. The family is a small community of related people who have as their interest the mutual care of one another. There's fellowship, there's sharing, there's labor, there's provision, there's also submission and authority. God has designed and designated the husband as the head of the family. The wife is to submit to her husband. The children are in turn to submit to their parents. If this pattern is followed as God wants it to be, this makes for a happy home. And when things are out of place, there's confusion, chaos, turmoil in the family, and it doesn't typify exactly what God wants at all. The second institution is the church. Now, the church is a small community of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have as their interest the worship and service of God as well as the mutual care of one another. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. He's Lord. The whole church is to submit to his leadership. Under him fall the pastor, then the deacons, and the other members of the congregation. When God's order is maintained in the church, there's harmony, there's blessing. However, when that order is violated, there will be division and hurt. The third institution that God created is human government, or we might call it civil government. The government is a larger community of people who are brought together under central leadership, they have as their interest the mutual good of all other citizens, and the submission of the citizens to the authorities of the government will produce a tranquil society. Now, it's the last of these three institutions that is in view in these verses. And since we are part of a secular society, we have certain responsibilities to that society. In chapter 12, Paul spoke at length of our duties on a spiritual and social level. In this chapter, he turns the focus to secular matters. How we relate to those outside the church, especially those who have the rule over us in society, it's a very important matter. Verses 1 through 5, we see the submissive aspect of our duty. No one seems to like the word submission. After all, every one of us loves to be in control. However, we need to realize that often we're not in control. And if there ever was a place where that's true in the world around us, it's especially true in our government. These verses clearly teach us that we have a duty to submit to the authority of the government. Now, verse 1, we have the command of God. When you consider the political climate in Rome when Paul wrote these words, they're quite remarkable. Rome was being ruled by a man named Nero. He was one of the most wicked of the Roman emperors. He even had his own mother and wife executed. He's one of the most notorious for blaming a tragic fire that decimated Rome. He blamed it all on Christians. This resulted in tens of thousands of Christians dying by persecution. Yet it is to this man and his government that Paul issues the command for allegiance. Of course, Paul had no illusions about Nero. What Paul is commanding is not blind allegiance to wicked men, but willful obedience to the commands of God, because God established civil government. This command has nothing to do with the ruler, and it has everything to do with the spiritual condition of the believer. The command is simple, and the command is clear. Believers are to willfully submit to secular authorities. Many have a problem with this, yet it's still the clear command of the Lord to his people. However, there does come a time when civil disobedience is in order, and the state comes to the place of trying to govern the conscience of man, then God is to be obeyed over the state. And here's the truth that it is in view here. When the laws of the state do not contradict the laws of God, then the state is to be obeyed without question. However, when obeying the law of the state forces you to violate the clear teachings of God, then God is to be obeyed regardless of what the state says. That is what the disciples did in Acts chapter 5 and verses 25 through 42. I'd call your attention to that. The Bible says in verse 24, "Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us," talking about Christ. Verse 29 of chapter 5 of the book of Acts, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. Peter was known for his sermons that were very concise, and this was his defense. One sentence: we ought to obey God rather than obey man. Thus, there is a time for civil disobedience, but Paul is telling us that rulers are not against us who do good by the very nature of the fact of how God created civil government. The idea here is not that they will respect our ways or our works. The spiritual end of our behavior is not what we're really discussing. The idea is that when we follow the law of the land, we will be found in favor with our leaders. But when we break the laws of men, we receive judgment. There is a price to pay for breaking man's law. Paul felt this personally. He obeyed God's law. He preached the gospel, even when man's law executed him for his efforts. Notice there's no condemnation of the state from Paul for what he is about to suffer. But what are we to do? When there is law in our land from our government that goes entirely against the word of God. My friend, we do exactly what the apostles did. We make the defense on the word of God that we ought to obey God rather than men. There's currently a bill before the United States Senate that will be devastating to our society as a whole, and especially the lives of every true believer in Jesus Christ. It is called the Equality Act. It is anything but equal. If passed, it would seek to normalize sin more so than it is now, and prosecute and persecute those who have a different viewpoint or belief system. It's a 32-page bill that is the most damning legislation for Christians. It's anti-women, it's anti-God, and it stands against anything and everything the Word of God teaches. Pray for this country. Let your voices be heard. Write and call your United States senators. But brother, we have to stand on the Word of God, regardless of what man's laws say, when it contradicts his word. And verse 4 of Romans chapter 13, the Bible makes it clear that the government is in fact the arm of the Lord to maintain order in society. To walk in step with the laws of men, those laws that do not contradict God's word, to walk in step with those laws is to enjoy peace. To rebel is to feel that wrath of men. They have every right, because they are commissioned by God to maintain order in society. God has handed judgment to men, and we're under obligations to obey them as they rule our countries, our government, even when we would disagree how they lead or their personal lives. Now, verses 6 and 7 of Romans 13, we see the supportive aspect of our duty. It's ironic that we would cover this portion of Scripture this time of year. Verses 6 and 7 has to do with our monetary support. These verses have to do with matter of paying your taxes. Now, there's not a person under the sound of my voice who enjoys paying taxes. In truth, many of the taxes we pay, we feel that they're unnecessary, unethical, and some we might even think that they're illegal. However, we are obligated to pay them nonetheless. Of course, most folks look for any way that they can to get out of paying their taxes. According to the IRS, they say that the gap between what people owe in taxes and what they actually pay is around $100 million every year. Now, the Lord would have us pay our taxes. that we owe to the government, and we may not like it, but according to the Word of God, it does honor God. Verse 7 also addresses our moral support. We're commanded to fear and honor those who have the rule over us, even if we cannot respect them, that person who is making the decisions, who is in the position, their beliefs, their actions. We still owe them a debt of respect because of the position they occupy. Now remember, they would not be serving there unless they had been allowed by God. Therefore, respect given to those in authority is, in effect, respect given to God. We must remember that. Now, verses 8 through 10 of Romans 13, we have the spiritual aspect of our duty. We are to be a liberated people, according to verse 8. This verse tells us that we are to be in debt to no man. Of course, we can become so inundated financially that we're burdened beyond all hope of deliverance. We have to be careful in that regard. It's very easy in a materialistic world. But the idea here is that we are to render honor to those who are due honor and fear to those who are due fear, custom to those who are due custom, taxes to those who are due taxes. Paul is telling the Roman Christians that they are to meet every social obligation without failing. The command for us in our day is no different. We're under the same obligation to obey the rulers of our country and render them the honor that is due, whether we agree with them, whether we align our belief system with them, or whether or not we voted for them. God says, you honor me when you respect them. So regardless of what men do, we must honor God by the way we live our lives. Then verses 8 through 10, the remainder part of verse 8 through 10, we're to be a loving people. Now, if there's to be a debt that we have, it should be the debt of love. When we love God as we should, we will always love others as we should. And when this is true in our lives, in our walk, we will have no problem obeying the laws of the land and honoring the rights, the positions, and the possessions of others. That was the truth that Jesus attempted to convey in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39. When we learn to love like God, we will naturally live like God. After all, Jesus said that the world would know that we are his disciples when we properly display the characteristic of what? Love. John 13, verse 35. He also said that genuine love always manifests itself in obedience. John chapter 14 and verse 15. So God desires for us to give him glory, and we do that through the way we conduct our lives among our brothers and sisters in Christ, and how we present ourselves to the lost. We're being watched every day. And Paul is saying, you're being watched and you are the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only are you created in the image of God, as every man is, but you have been bought with a price, Acts 20, verse 28. You have been bought with a price. God owned you by right of creation. God owned you by right of redemption. And you display the testimony of God Almighty on your life. So therefore, make your picture that you show the world clear. Make it beautiful. Make it glorious, because you represent the image of Almighty God. And that's important. You may be the only Bible. You and I may be the only Bible that people see, that they see. We may be, our lives may be the only gospel message that people see, that they recognize, that they note, that they go back to, and it may cause them to be saved from a devil's hell. As we look at the world around us, oh, there's a lot of reason to be concerned. There's a lot of reason to be discouraged. Yet we must understand that the powers that be are there because they have been ordained by God. And even if they're wicked, oftentimes they are. Person gets in a position of power and they become puffed up, they become prideful, they become as if they're all powerful, that there are no boundaries for them, and they trip, they begin going in a wrong direction, and they think that no one can ever stop them. That's one of the errors of the ways of men, the ways of flesh, and one of the things that goes along the hindrances of leadership. But no matter, God's people are to respect their position, honor them as individuals, and obey the law. When that law contradicts God's word, then God and His word must be obeyed. Because in reality, we are citizens of this country, but we're citizens of heaven. We're just passing through here. We belong to God. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No president, no vice president, no prime minister, no governor can trump that. We serve the King of Kings. We serve God. But as much as possible, as long as those rules and laws do not violate the Word of God, it is our duty, and it brings glory to our Savior when we obey the laws of men. We're actually performing a service of worship to the glory of God and demonstrating to the rest of the world how godly people live and conduct their lives. We don't live for foolishness. We live to honor and glorify God. And when we do this, God is honored, Jesus Christ is exalted, and the saints prove the reality, the genuineness of their testimony, and it lets the world know that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I don't live for myself. I live to honor and glorify my blessed Savior because I belong to Him. He's mine. And I am His. So in our walk, we should honor God in everything, even in following the laws of men. Why? Because we are showing the genuine love that manifests itself through obedience. We're obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. We're obeying the Word of God. And that, my friend, brings glory to our Savior's name. Is it always going to be easy? No. Are we always going to agree? No. Is the leadership of our country going to be perfect? No. But what we do and how we demonstrate ourselves and carry ourselves before the world, obeying the laws of men, matters to God. And it gives them a beautiful testimony of the changed heart that we have. Even if they never look, even if they never take notice, God takes notice. And He's the one we please, no one else. Let's please the Lord as much as we can because He's worthy of our glory, our praise, and our worship.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We trust it's been a blessing. Trust you'll have a great week in the Lord. Log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and let us know if you've accepted Christ or this message has helped you. God bless you, and we trust you have a great day in the Lord.